All right, so good afternoon, everybody. Before we start off, I just want to go through some practical considerations first, as the occasion that we always do so. So welcome to the webinar on Inclusive Dialogues, which focuses on building meaningful connections across generations and cultures, which is hosted by the NextGen chapter of LEAD Network. Now, before we start off, let's quickly go throughout all the technical requirements. So as far as I am aware, this is a webinar, so there is no possibility to activate your audio. Now, if you want to talk at least, if you have any questions, please feel free to put them in the chat. We're more than happy to help you out and answer your questions. Please do interact with the Q&A button or put your questions in the chat. Also, as a general remark, this webinar will be recorded, so if you are not comfortable with that, please feel free to check out the recording later and just, well, I would say quit the webinar, even though I would rather have you stay. And so for the screenshots part, they will be made throughout the session, which will also be present on our on our website. So having these practical considerations out of the way, there is only one thing more. We have the entrance guidelines. I'll put them up for a short period of time. Please read quickly through them. This is as we have members from different companies participating, a requirement to be able to comply with the antitrust. All right, so on to today. I will be today's moderator. My name is Vincent De Keer. For those who have joined previous webinars, you've seen me in very different functions already. Currently, I am a director at the European Project Group that is actually realizing projects between Belgium and the Netherlands. So today I will be hosting this webinar, and for that we have actually three panelists. We have Messi from Sigma BMC. She's actually the founder for Sigma BMC, as well as Priyanka and Adi, both from the Manabu movement. We actually invited them to share their views on the idea of cross-generational and cross-cultural communication. Also, it is very nice to see NextGen doing something different again, as Adi isn't for now our youngest speaker ever to come to any of the LEAD Network events. With regards to Messi, she will be discussing how D&I actually helps companies on a strategic level to achieve their ESG goals. So ESG currently, at especially the EU level, is a hot topic. But for that, I will happily stand down and give the floor to Messi, who will be discussing this in detail.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, perfect.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Vincent. Hi, Ade and Priyanka. I'm thrilled to be here today with you to explore how, as you presented, how inclusive dialogue can be a strategic advantage in the business world and specifically in the European retail and CPG industry. Please let me share my screen.
All right, perfect. We can see it.
Can see it? Great. So, yes, let me just add about myself a little bit about myself. I am Yasir Messi Hoca. As Vincent said, I'm a founder and a CEO of a boutique management consulting company. I help companies grow sustainably by providing advisory and management consulting services in the field of ESG, digital transformation, and management systems. In the field of inclusive dialogue, DEI, and ESG, I have led many projects, programs, the latest one being the IFC's Inclusive Leadership Program for Company Sustainability, where I was a co-trainer, co-facilitator. And the one that actually is the that I would like to emphasize, which is the one of the most crucial moments in my career, was when I facilitated five behavioral harvest workshops with municipalities here in my country. In these sessions, participated the highest levels of executives, the mayors, who were directly involved with citizens addressing community-specific sustainability challenges. This workshop started with raising awareness of unconscious biases that both local leaders and citizens held. And what unfolded was really very powerful. By acknowledging these biases, both parties were able to communicate more openly, leading to collaborative solutions for long-standing issues. One such instance was when a dialogue between citizens and their mayors led to the revitalization of a neglected urban space into a community garden, which was really beautiful, fostering not only environmental benefits, but also community engagement and a sense of belonging. These experiences reinforce the critical lessons that when we create spaces for inclusive dialogue, we enable a wealth of ideas that can lead to significant community and organizational transformation. So, reflecting on these experiences, I have prepared a business case for inclusive dialogue. And actually, I would like to start by just posing a question, a thought-provoking question to all of you. How often do we convene around a table where all voices are heard, or worse, where not all seats are even filled? Please think about this throughout this presentation and continue to understand the broader impact of what we've experienced. What exactly is inclusive dialogue? It's an open exchange of views among individuals with diverse backgrounds. It's what happens when we not only fill every seat at the table, but also ensure that each voice can speak and be heard with equal weight. But why this should matter? Oops, sorry, I apologize. Why this should matter to us as leaders in our organizations? Please consider these three outlines. Inclusive companies are 1.7 times more likely to be innovation leaders. Inclusion is linked to 2.3 times higher cash flow per employee. And diverse teams outperform by 35% on profitability metrics. And if we need more convincing diverse teams, we have to ask ourselves, how can we afford not to harness the full spectrum of voices available to us? How can we as leaders cultivate an environment where inclusive dialogue isn't just an occasional event, but the fundamental characteristics of our company culture? So let's explore further how inclusive dialogue is not just a component of our DEI initiatives, but the very engine driving their success. So just to remind ourselves, because many times we listen SDG, ESG, DIA, and inclusive dialogue. So how are these all interconnected? How does this dialogue interweave with the goals and frameworks that guide our strategic decisions? Imagine for a moment that interconnected world we operate in. Sustainable development goals outline the blueprint for a better future. Environmental, social, and governance criteria gauge our performance and impact. And diversity, equity, and inclusion reflect our commitment to fairness and opportunity. And at the center is the inclusive dialogue. Why? Because inclusive dialogue is the channel through which we keep in mind this vital interconnection. We edge closer to realizing our sustainability goals. And with every conversation that invites a new perspective, with each policy informed by diverse voices, help us score higher on the ECG metrics. Every decision-making process that champions equity and embraces diversity strengthens our DEI practices and outcomes. So, as we transition to the next slide, keep in mind that this is a vital interconnection, and that inclusive dialogue isn't just another initiative. It is the very pulse of modern, sustainable, and equitable business practice. Let's explore into the essence of what makes leadership the cornerstone of the DEI initiatives. Leadership commitment, true commitment, goes beyond words. It is demonstrated through strategic initiatives and visible involvement. Leaders must not only endorse DEI, but embody it, ensuring that their actions speak as loudly as their intentions. Executives set the tone for conscious inclusion. As I mentioned, with my latest experience with the behavior harvest workshops, the presence of mayors set the tone for conscious inclusions, which led to sustainable outcomes. The executive mandate is to build a culture where conscious inclusion is the norm. Leaders must create an environment where psychological safety is paramount, and that this allows every employee or every stakeholder to voice their ideas and concerns without fear. It is essential to correct systemic bias, particularly in recruitment, evaluations, and the provision of career-enhancing opportunities. Championing inclusive dialogue and DEI attracts talent, promotes innovation, and enhances reputation. And a leader's active support for this is a magnet for top talent who seek inclusive work cultures. Diverse perspectives, as such, are the fuel for innovation, driving the company to explore uncharted territories and solutions. And an unwavering stand on DEI solidifies the company's reputation, making it a beacon for customers and partners who share their values. So, as we discuss these tangible actions that leaders must take, let us remember the journey towards true DEI. That it is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It requires endurance, commitment, and most importantly, the willingness to lead by example. So that our next slide will explore this in much greater detail. Having acknowledged in the previous slide the weight of the leadership in DEI, let's now examine the fabric of leadership styles itself. As such, leadership, as much it is about understanding and managing oneself, it is about engaging with others. This is where emotional and social intelligence become highly essential. So self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and relationship management, together these components create a leadership style that is conscious, intentional, and inclusive, which encourages an organizational culture that places a premium on DEI. Such leaders that practice this four cornerstones are not only understanding and managing their emotions, but also navigating and improving the emotions of others, thereby driving engagement, innovation, and collaborative success. In the list provided within the slide, I've listed few of the traits that have been identified by Zenger and Folkman that characterize leadership traits and qualities of leaders that are socially intelligent. So we have to remember that leadership is not a static quality, but a dynamic range of these behaviors that inspire and influence. They are the behaviors that, when practiced, will distinguish a leader that is extraordinary and not only that leads companies, but also lead change. So let's remind us of the social intelligence, what it actually means. So it is the ability to understand and navigate social interactions effectively, which is very crucial for leaders in today's diverse workplaces. As we unpack these three points, I invite you to reflect personally. When was the last time you truly exercised empathy in your leadership? And consider the depth of understanding that you've reached with teams of diverse backgrounds. Think about recent moments of change. How did your adaptability or perhaps lack thereof shape the outcome? And in terms of organizational behavior and awareness, how well do your initiatives resonate with the core strategy of your company? Let this question linger as we discuss how social intelligence can be your edge in embedding these initiatives and inclusive dialogue deeply and effectively within your leadership practices. These are the building blocks of social intelligence in leadership. And these crucial skill set functions as the building blocks, not just qualities, but tools in your leadership toolkit, each of them serving a distinct purpose in fostering a culture where these initiatives aren't just policy, but a lived experience. So as you consider these building blocks, I encourage you to identify which of these areas are your strengths and which you can further develop. How do these elements show up in your leadership styles and how they can be harnessed to not only advance DEI and inclusive dialogue, but also inspire those around you to do the same? Take a moment to just jot down at least one building block that you will commit to strengthening in the coming weeks and consider the impact that growth could have on your team's dynamic and performance in general. And remember that these goals are for your continuous improvement and not only for yourself, but for the whole organization. As we progress in our exploration of the strategic value of inclusive dialogue, let's look at the quantifiable. Let's see some numbers. How the inclusive dialogue impacts on the business bottom line and growth potential. In examining the data before us, we witnessed a clear upward trajectory. Organizations with a low level of inclusive practices see marginal improvements in key performance indicator. As we escalate to a moderate level of inclusive practices, the financial performance metrics amplify significantly. You can see decision-making quality surges by 30%, market share grows by 15%, and innovation by 35%. Yet, the most compelling case for inclusive dialogue is made at the high end of the spectrum. Here, at this point, decision-making quality soars by 70%, and the innovation nearly doubles at 55%. This level of performance is not just strategic. It is a game changer, positioning companies at the forefront of industry leadership and sustainable growth. This graph does not just depict numbers, it illustrates a narrative. It tells us that inclusive dialogue is a powerful lever of financial performance and market competitiveness. It shows us that the commitment to inclusive practices are rewarded not in incremental steps, but in leaps and bounds. As leaders, we must ask ourselves, where do we stand in this graph? Are we connected with the status quo, or are we driven to reach the pinnacle of our strategic potential? The choice is clear and the path is inclusive dialogue. So as we explore the risks further on the DEI possess, consider the ripple effect of ignoring DEI on brand perception and the hidden costs associated with employee turnover. I will not go in detail on this due to time, but you will have this on your slides with data. I would just like to summarize that ignoring DEI initiatives can erode the brand standing in the public eye, creating ripples that extend far beyond the immediate fallout of any single event. This negligence impacts not just the external perception, but also the internal fabric of our organizations, leading to increased turnover rates. This slide serves as a stark reminder that the absence of proactive DEI measures is not passive choice, but an active risk to our brand's integrity and our organizational health. Moving forward, we spotlight real embodiment of DEI success through the lens of industry giants. As you can see, return on investment of up to over 200%, return of investment of over 1,000%, 10% increase in employee engagement at Microsoft, 15% reduction in employee turnover at IBM, and 25% reduction in employee turnover by Cisco. And a summary of outcomes for major, since we are in your network of retail corporates, I have summarized some outcomes for Walmart, Target, and Starbucks that you can see in the slides. So these are not just stories, but I'm trying to prove that these are empirical evidences of how integrating they into the corporate ethos is not merely a moral imperative, but a definitive strategic advantage driving innovation, market penetration, and financial growth. So as we delve into these case studies, let's draw on inspiration and insight from their journeys, understanding that the path they've charted serves as a blueprint for what we too can achieve with commitment and action in this field. So as we navigate these multifaceted process of integrating DEI into the very core of corporate strategy, each step from leadership to continuous improvement plays a pivotal role. It begins with leadership setting a clear and commitment vision for DEI, and this vision is then codified through robust policies and governance structures that ensures accountability and embed DEI principles into the organization's DNA. Recruitment and talent management strategies, training and development initiatives are then essential in engaging our teams with the skills and awareness needed to foster an inclusive culture. Operational practices and supplier diversity, marketing and customer engagement efforts must resonate with a diverse client base, reflecting the rich tapestry of our global audience. And critically, our journey doesn't end with the implementation. Performance measurement and reporting coupled with feedback and continuous improvement mechanisms ensure that DEI remains a dynamic and evolving aspect of our strategic landscape, constantly adapting and growing in sophistication and impact. So as you reflect on this slide, consider the integral role of each of these steps play in not just adopting DEI initiatives, but truly integrating them into the heartbeat of your corporate strategy. I also took a success story that I would like to highlight because it's a success story of implementing DEI strategies from strategy to execution. So the success metric that Accenture saw is 25% increase in revenue from new clients, and this was achieved by partnering with the leading DEI organizations to develop and implement their training programs. So as we stand in this stage of reflection and action, let's remind ourselves of the day's strategic lever as integral to our organization's growth and innovation. So it's not a parallel track, but the main line that drives sustainable success. So consider the tree of our organization, where each leaf represents a value-added DEI initiative: innovation, resilience, brand strength, market reach, employee engagement, operational excellence. And not to stop here, I stopped here because of the number of the leaves that enabled me to put, but you've evidenced throughout the presentation that the benefits are not limited to this. So I urge each of you to take a leaf from this tree, a value that resonates with you, and pledge to nurture this value, make it a part of your leadership practice, your teams, and your corporate strategy. Commit to specific actions that you will cultivate these aspects of DEI in your spheres of influence. This commitment today will shape the canopy under which you will thrive tomorrow, positioning you not just as participant, but as a leader in the industry of the future. So let's take the imperative of for action and turn it into the roots of our growth and the branches of your achievement. So let's each take a moment to consider the puzzle that lies before us. Every piece of this puzzle represents a step in your DEI journey, and it's up to you to put these pieces together. So evaluate. Start by assessing where you stand on DEI within your organization. How do you measure up against the best in the industry? This evaluation is the first piece of the puzzle, the foundation upon which you will build. Engage deeply with your stakeholders. Set up a forum that isn't just a gesture, but true platform for diverse voices to be heard and valued. Each piece of feedback is another part of the puzzle, adding clarity to your bigger picture. And finally, embed DEI into the core of your business strategy and company values. Connect DEI objectives with key performance indicators, ensuring that this is not just a side project, it's a central metric of success. This last piece completes the puzzle and integrates DEI into the heart of your organization. But beyond these organizational actions, I call upon each of you to take personal responsibility. Reflect on your actions and behaviors. How can you, as an individual leader, foster inclusivity daily? Perhaps it's by mentoring someone from an underrepresented group, or maybe it's by challenging your assumptions and biases. Commit at least to one personal action today that will contribute to a more diverse and inclusive workplace tomorrow. So together, our collective actions will complete this puzzle, revealing a cohesive, inclusive, and thriving organization for the future. So, Vincent, this is my presentation. I think I'm okay with the timing. And I
Yes,
would
it
like
was really great. Honestly, I think it's really interesting to see how you linked the whole idea of inclusive dialogue to building a core for the future, which has the main emphasis on employee engagement, building better leadership, involving your employees, and therefore also lowering turnover, having higher levels of innovation, as well as the general benefits of employee satisfaction. And for myself, I actually took out one of the building blocks. Obviously, I also work a lot with governments currently, which will be currently knowledge transfer. So thank you very much for the input and also for timing. It was really great. So thank you, Messi.
You're welcome, Vincent. I'm glad. I hope I've inspired you and
Well, at least you inspired
remember.
me, and I'm quite sure you inspired the rest of the audience as well. So thank you very much again. Which
You're
also
welcome.
now means that we can change to our second part of this panel, which will be a panel discussion together with Priyanka and Adi. For this one, the upset, the outgoing preset for this is to have an open discussion with two people who are very interested in a new way of teaching, a new way of living, and a new way on how to see the world. But also, if anyone has questions for them, it would be amazing to also have me introduce your questions to them, because honestly, I'm really excited to give the floor to Priyanka and Adi. So I will just get on with it and invite them to the floor and ask a very general question to both Adi and Priyanka, and that is like, who are you? What do you actually do during the day, and how do you got to doing what you're doing now? Because honestly, the Mamba New movement, there's a lot to be said about it, but I think you can summarize it much better than I can.
Hey Vincent, thank you so much for having us here. I think Adi is really excited. Adi will speak for himself. But yeah, we started a journey with alternate learning and education maybe 3 years before, almost 3 years ago, when COVID happened, when we decided to come back home, and there was a lot of time to start discovering things by ourselves. And Adi was learning the way we wanted to finally, and he was experimenting. He was, enjoying whatever was available at home, and that was the time we also together discovered the power of online way of learning. And there were so many things available online, and we started connecting with a lot of people. And since then, there was no looking back. And I think Adi can, expand on that, how we started learning together.
Yeah, so I'm a Kendra. I'm 9 years old, and I like coding, and I also like to blog about what I'm doing. I blog about some things I explore, and I also learn AI with Arta. And yeah.
So he started learning a lot of things online slowly, and he started connecting with a lot of people. And that happened when, digital way of learning was off the charts, and we started exploring. So it was all part of exploration, and it became something we became really fascinated about. Yeah,
Okay, because, well, based upon a previous conversation while we were getting acquainted with each other, I understood that especially it's a very peculiar position you both find yourself in, being able to be engaging in the materials, like looking into specific subjects that really interest both of you, and especially Adi in terms of like how he wants to develop himself, which also meant that he has gained very peculiar knowledge and very detailed knowledge on certain elements that he currently engages in, which led that to actually have him being introduced into calls with leadership positions, with CXO positions, and so on. So in terms of the whole outset of this webinar as well, my question would be, is there a way that has specifically stood out to either you, Priyanka, or you, Adi, that leadership behaved in a certain way or have addressed the conversation in a certain way that made you feel welcomed as well as respected on their sort of corporate level? Like, is there a, like some kind of takeaways you can give, or like some kinds of notes that you can say, like, this was a really great way on how they address the situation, first off in terms of age, but also maybe in terms of culture?
I think when we started off, it was very interesting that when I started reaching out to people, because the kind of things that I was practicing at home, it was mostly the people who were, not especially Indian. A lot of people from other countries, started replying to me faster than people from my own country. And I started, making friends with a lot of people from Europe and from US. And because we were somewhere aligned and resonating with the kind of things we were practicing, and I realized that, we were not alone in this journey of practicing alternate way of learning. And Adi also started meeting a lot of people online, and he will share now how he started making connections. And at first, though it might, I was never I never thought that we would be able to make so many connections, and so I that may help me start writing to people and sending them mails, sending them messages. And slowly, I think in the last 3 years, we have amazing connections with people from all over the world. And later on, I started finding people from my own country who were practicing similar things. Yeah, do you like to say that? I'm starting making friends with.
I started making friends.
Maya, you met
Yeah. So I met Maya and Ata and also more people I met. So I met them. It's very fun when you're talking with your age group and then they share the same interests. So yeah.
Because honestly, when I talk about the whole idea of when I introduced it to friends and family about the next topic for this whole conversation, right? We were talking about the fact that when it comes to intercultural, especially intergenerational dialogue, it may sometimes be very difficult because underlying core values may be different, besides even different uses of languages, different formalities, and so on, which is something you should really consider when you are talking with upper management, especially if they're older. But then again, there is also, in my opinion, a lot to learn from the young people who enter the corporate atmosphere. And then especially when we talk about young people, if I see Adi showing up in a meeting, for example, I think it would be like, this is going to be very interesting because we're going to get very different perspectives from outside of our own echo chamber. So when you consider this, is there a way that, like, is there reasons why you would say that companies should engage with a very younger and different audience? And when I say companies, I do mean the leadership positions, the CXO functions, and how should they do it?
So, when I'm talking with CEOs, I feel engaged a lot. And then I like when I'm discussing about when they're launching new products, and then they're launching new products, they're taking some products in beta testing. So I like and like also when I'm talking with Ata, she likes and she accepts my opinions, and like in the boot camp and also when we are going for boot camps, and I feel like I'm there. So I have a voice there. So.
And I think, like you said, it's really important that when people engage with young people, the dynamics entirely changes, because I've seen Abby having conversations with CEOs and other people who are who want his view because he's already used the product, or who, like for example, an AI, if he was there for AI boot camp, and he could share what he's been learning, what he's been testing, and that becomes a very fresh sort of a perspective for someone who's launching products, because here is a young person using it and giving you a direct feedback on how it is, and you are also open to the idea, you are listening and you are engaging, and you get it can help you build, various versions of the products. For example, if you're using an AI tool, how if you want if you would like to know how a young person would use, not because most of the products that are made made for adults. So young people are there using AI, and they will be using it faster than we know. So if you know how, because some children maybe who are not even who are just learning to write and read, for them a voice-enabled AI tool can be very helpful, right? So these kind of feedback, when it comes from a young person, it becomes easy for anyone to implement it and get on with it.
So in a certain way, and also can I ask you just to move a little bit closer to the mic because currently I received a message that the sound is not being completely picked up at your end, Priyanka. So what I understood, and I think that's very interesting, is that you try to cultivate the sort of generational advantage that young people have at this point, just because they are growing up in an era of what is to be called digitalization, and now with the whole AI atmosphere, they do not have to learn it from scratch as they are being brought up in it, which allows you then to kind of, manifest that whole experience of growing up with it as a sort of given. Because for the higher up management, when it comes to AI, for example, for them it's something new. Well, for Adi and his age category, that would be just a fact that it exists. Now, during the conversations that you have with CEOs, when it comes to making a real impact on business decisions, when it comes to really getting your point across, I think that the underlying values for such conversations in general are embedded into the whole idea of having respect for one another as well as empathy. But in terms of like, how do you guys go, like, how do you feel that this is present in the conversations? Do you feel like they are making like specific efforts for those, or like what is the overarching sentiment when it comes to like being accepted in the meeting?
I think so far, all the conversations that we've had with people from different companies or people who are representing different organizations, I think what I've felt is all these people, I don't know if I should say that they are quite accepting of, different kind of, opinion. They are kind of very empathetic and they listen. They hear you out. They don't mind you asking questions. And I think Adi has been in a couple of the boot camps and workshops, especially those which is organized, where Atta has been present in most of them. And I think all the young people, like young geniuses, have been able to speak their mind and share their, from wherever they are coming from. And I don't think so. We have had any experience where we were not heard or we were, not respected, because I think all these people, I think, share a similar mindset of accepting, new things. And if you see, India represents a lot of young people who are training themselves, freelancing. Freelancing is high in number here. Young people are starting a lot of startups now here. So there is a change, I think, the change happening where people are off the traditional model and exploring themselves, learning. And I think Avi will relate with that. The kind of respect that he gets from older people or people from different companies. Would you like to share that?
So the kind of respect that I get from older people is like, like when they're a accepting my opinion and what I want, what I want them to, do. For example, in somewhere, if I want someone to add, a voice function in the AI, and then they're like, okay, we'll add that. Thank you for the, opinion. So
So when it comes to, because you just said that it is a lot to do with the respect of them accepting your opinion, can you, for example, give us like a an example on, I'm not gonna say you have to mention the company, but any of the ideas that have been adopted, that have been, brought forward by you, because I think that's really interesting to see, like, what kind of input you specifically give, and how does it like affect the business stream in that regard?
I think an excellent example would be the Manabu movement, how it started. And a young girl realized that.
So like my friend world schooler Maya realized that in the park there's so much trash. Then she like started picking it up and realizing that there's so much trash. So then because of this, Manabu movement started.
With the idea of young people getting the voice, and because young people are faster because they ask me questions. They are constantly asking me, why is it? Why is the person throwing the trash when there's a bin? Why are they throwing it in the ground? Why? And it's obvious for them that why are people behaving in such a manner? And that's how one of the movement came when the young girl pointed out that, and I think it was adopted. So one of the movement is helping young people have their voice, and they are coming with ideas. They are changing things, and the same thing happened with the youth skill development in Kosovo when she pointed out that young people could have skills, that they could,
Skills by with the help of AI.
and phone. So now they were part of the boot camp where 10-year-olds participated in the boot camp, and they were talking about how they are using AI with gadgets, with internet, and how it is possible. To create those skills, no matter where you are from, which country are you from, you just need the basic tools, and everybody has a phone in their hand, and a lot can be done. And these ideas were adopted. So now, Arta is also involved in training young people in Kosovo to get those skills, which will help them to, build their own profiles and, meet their basic needs. So these ideas are being adopted largely. I believe at least the institutes or organizations that we know of.
Also, I see a question from the audience, which may be very interesting. When it comes to, let's say, higher level meetings, how many times a week are you engaged, like in terms of time frames? Like, do you have like, a full agenda, or is it very sporadically, or is it something recurring? How does it go?
Quite sporadic, but on the other hand, I also reach out to people where Adi has always been a part of it, and he participates. But it's quite sporadic, but it happens weekly now and then where we talk to people. He has been in meetings where people from even world schooling communities or homeschooling communities are a part of it. We also travel in India where these kind of meetings are happening where we talk about educational, changing the way education is functioning now, creating alternate models. And Adi has been part of these conferences. He has visited those people and he has met how different people are creating new or, alternate education systems in India. And with different countries, he has been in the virtual meetings whenever it happens.
So based upon the current setting of business, when it comes in general to the globalization of many of the, let's say, multinationals and so on, they are often being crossed with a bunch of very complex problems. Do you think that youngsters in general would be able to contribute to very complex problems? Because from a business perspective, often said, like, it's really difficult for our own business to understand, let alone that an outsider can give any valuable input.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think NASA had done research where they found that your genius is intact till you are in kindergarten, and as slowly you start growing up in the traditional model, slowly what happens is your genius level starts going down, and it's very low for adults.
Yeah, even Arta mentioned that when you were having your
So I think with that, keeping that in mind, I think young people can really contribute to complex problem solving, and because they come with a very honest, unbiased, unfiltered approach where you are not scared and you are not, you're not afraid of speaking your mind. And I think we should be appreciative of, listening, because I think one skill that older people or adults should learn should be, listening to young people, because young people always complain that we are not being heard. They complain of so many things, but they're also ready to change. They're ready to make the change. They're ready to make the offerings, and I think we are seeing not only in India, but in many other countries as well, that how young people are taking, the steps forward. They're acquiring quite good positions. Many companies are also hiring young people as coders, as writers, as social media professionals. And there are so many new job opportunities cropped up just because of, young people. They have come up with their own, profiles, because now everything has been broken into so many things, right? And they are ready to take, become expert of it. And it's no more you have to become such and such person to do such and such thing. You can be an expert in things that interest you.
Based on the time, I'm gonna have one big question to close this conversation with, which is, can you give me one takeaway that is both valuable for upper management but also for next generation people, youngsters entering the corporate atmosphere? Like, is there one key idea you want them to take with them within the next few days, or have it as based upon the date as New Year's resolution even?
I think what I would say is, stay open-minded, and once you're open-minded to listen to a young person, appreciating their ideas, and exploring alternate ways of learning and embracing different things, things start shifting on its own. And I think that's what happened. I heard in the previous conversation also that your mind shift changes, when you include people, right? When you have inclusion, and that will only happen when you have an open mind to embrace new things and accept new ideas.
Do you want to give anybody a good idea for a New Year's resolution when it comes to engaging on a higher level?
Yeah, so engaging on a higher level, as I said, it's quite fun when you're engaging and your voice is being, heard. So, yeah.
Thank you very much. I will ask the event support to put up the questionnaires to share your feedback on the current session. Thank you all for joining. As a quick reminder, we do have two more sessions coming out when it comes to the current learning journey, which means we have one next week specifically on AI.
Vincent, if I may interrupt you briefly.
Yes, go ahead, go ahead.
I think I received a question, so I will just very briefly answer if that's okay with
Go
you.
ahead. I did not see it, so feel free to go for it.
So, yes, what do you think? What are the underlying reasons why companies often fail to integrate DEI into their strategic planning, even though it has both moral and financial benefits? Thank you for the question. It is very relevant. There are, of course, several underlying reasons, but I will, since the timing, I will mention only one, and the most important, I think, is the leadership commitment. All these initiatives, DEI initiatives, often require strong leadership commitment and visible support from the top. So if leadership is not fully engaged in DEI efforts, they may not receive the necessary attention and resources. So, and then I'll just summarize the resistance to change, lack of awareness, established culture and structure, et cetera, et cetera. So even me becoming aware with the numbers every day on the benefits and the outcomes, I become more aware of the importance and the benefits, the financial benefits that these initiatives bring. However, they require resources, human, financial, to be initiated. Thank you for the question.
I think that's really true. And as long as there is no support from the upper hand, I mean, I think the best way to integrate is to have both a top-down movement, but also a bottom-up movement. So you have them meeting in the middle section of both of those. And just as a general remark, because I'm currently also engaged with government officials, on your end, Messi, how many times do you see governments or at least municipalities engaging with the young people? Like, do they have like youth councils or something on your end?
Yes. They have youth councils. In our country, that's a question that, because of the average age, we are a very young nation. So even our deputies at the municipality assembly are young. So the percentage is high. Involvement is high.
Okay. Thank you very much. So I'm going to quickly share my screen with the Keep Connected node. So please feel free to register yourself on the network and follow our next gen chapter. As a final remark, as I was just saying, we have two more webinars coming out, one next week with AI, and then the last one in the last week of November, which will address the whole idea of how you go about personal branding and how it helps developing your career. This will be done with Lisanne Jonk here, who is now working for Cargill Australia. And I will also be one of the people speaking, because what I've noticed is that it sometimes comes across as, how to say, some kind of imposter syndrome, being a leader, being personally branded as a leader, but also being very young. That being said, I wish you all the best for today. Stay safe, stay healthy, enjoy already one of the many holidays to come. And thank you all for joining. I hope to see you all in one of our next webinars, especially the next weeks again. It's again with Arta. She is amazing on AI. So thank you all for joining. Have a nice day. I give you 2 minutes back of your time. Feel free to leave any questions in the chat or reach out to any of the panelists on LinkedIn. We're always available for questions. And I wish you all a very good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye to everyone.